Morning. This is the Progressive Politics Podcast. I'm your host, Phil. Today, we'll be talking about a presidential candidate named John Delaney and how he had a terrible voting record during his tenure in Congress and why people should not actually vote for him because he's a terrible candidate. So he was the representative or the congressman from Maryland's 6th District. He was the first one to actually announce that he was running for president right after Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 election. Overall, his campaign is self-funded because he's a millionaire and he can't actually raise a lot of money because no one actually supports him. And he's currently at 1% in the polls. He's running as a Democrat for the Democratic nomination for president. During his tenure in Congress, he supported the fast-tracking of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, known as TPP, which is a free trade agreement signed by 12 countries, and essentially it encouraged more businesses to send jobs overseas instead of staying in America. He was also the only Maryland Democrat that was not endorsed by AFL-CIO, which was a labor union that represents workers' rights and laborers' rights. Clearly, that is an indication of him not being on the side of workers and laborers' rights. And it's not hard for a Democrat to be endorsed by this labor union because this labor union tends to vote and support Democratic candidates. And clearly, he must be a really bad Democratic representative for this organization to not vote to not support him. He also is not a believer in Medicare for All, which would establish a single-payer healthcare system, which would cover everyone in America, not just a few people, because he thinks that if we have a Medicare for All system, 150 million people will lose their healthcare, which is not true. Medicare for All would cover more people, help consumers save more money, and it would decrease the amount of money that we spend on healthcare. And it gets better results than private insurance. But he says that, Finland and a lot of these Scandinavian countries have better healthcare systems because they have universal healthcare. But yet, he isn't offering a plan that would bring us to a universal healthcare system. Instead, he would want to rely more on the private industry, which is our current system and is failing the American public with the high premium costs and high drug prices that essentially gives consumers less options and less results and essentially cares more about making money than actually helping people get better with their condition, medical conditions. Well, Medicare for All, there's no profit motive in it. So the end result is that the consumers are healthy and that they're not in the pockets of CEOs of healthcare industry. It's government funded and it's funded by taxpayers. And many modern day countries such as Canada, Finland, France, UK, Germany, they all have a single payer system or a Medicare for All system that would essentially guarantee healthcare to everyone. He also was a supporter of warrantless wiretapping, which allows the government to spy on its citizens, which clearly violates the Fourth Amendment, which gives the government the right to search and seizure only if they have a warrant, and it also violates personal freedom. In addition, he also supported rolling back banking regulation in Dodd-Frank, which is a mediocre bill, but it also prevented a next financial crash and also mitigated another Wall Street crash. Was the essential reason why the Great Recession occurred, because banks constantly gambled consumers' money. And Dodd-Frank essentially prevented that from occurring again. And his reason was because he wanted to support community banks, but community banks do not have $250 million in assets. And clearly that was a lie. He also is part of the New Democratic Coalition, the No Labels Group, and the Problem Solver Caucus, which is a pro-Wall Street group and a moderate group that supports corporations and corporate-friendly agendas. While in Congress, he had 60% of his donations come from super PACs and his self-funding of his campaign. Only around 40% comes from actual people. He also received $2 million from financial firms and employees that lead to him voting for deregulation of Wall Street. Clearly, Wall Street is his buyers and his supporters, and clearly his supporters is supportive of his efforts to deregulate Wall Street. Clearly, his constituents in Maryland does not support deregulation of Wall Street because it's going to affect them. And also, he pledges that if elected, he would only sign legislation that is bipartisan support, which is also a terrible idea because a lot of the bipartisan efforts in Congress right now is not good bills, such as bipartisan efforts to deregulate Wall Street's to confirm more conservative judges, or bipartisan effort to declare war on another country, or bipartisan effort to privatize Social Security and something and things like that that the American public does not support. And a lot of the times, these bipartisan efforts are not actually beneficial to the American public. So he's essentially vowing that he would only sign legislation that is unpopular to the American public, but he would not sign legislation that, if passed in a Democratic Congress, that is supported by the American public. Clearly shows that he's siding more with his donors, the Wall Street guys, instead of with the American public, because a lot of these bipartisan supports are not popular with the American public, but is popular with Wall Street and these big corporations. With that being said, even though, yes, his voting record is terrible, and he's polling out 1%, clearly showing that he's gaining no momentum and that voters don't actually like what he's saying, he still has some a good side of him that other Democrats might actually support. Like, he supports a $15 minimum wage. He supports a carbon tax. And he also wants to expand pre-K education to everyone, which is actually a progressive policy. But with that being said, clearly his voting record outweighs some of his good policies. And that his voting record overall is not that good, and his pro-corporation, pro-big business, and less on emphasis on consumers and the American public. So with that being said, John Delaney should not be the Democratic nominee to take on Donald Trump because he is not a populist. He doesn't represent the overall views of the American people, instead on Wall Street and corporations. So therefore, no one should be voting for this guy because clearly he is an unappealing candidate to run for president. And with that being said, this ends the segment of this ep this ends the segment of Progressive Politics Podcast, and I'll see you next time.